Thank you so much for staying with Sharad and I on Consider This. Prime Minister Muhyiddin Yassin visited Sarawak last week, his first since being appointed Prime Minister last year. During the visit, he announced that a special counsel on Malaysia Agreement 1963 would soon be making public its decision on the Federal Constitution Amendment on other matters related to Sabah and Sarawak. Now, there have been rumours circulating that the territories of Sabah and Sarawak would now no longer be known as states, but as regions. This was after Muhyiddin used the term in reference to Sarawak in a speech. Now, how would a reclassification of Sabah and Sarawak to regions to be on par with the peninsula within the Federation of Malaysia, how would that impact coalition dynamics at the federal level? Ivy Juga is a lecturer at the Faculty of Administrative Sciences and Policy Studies at UiTM Sarawak. Ivy, good evening. Now, would a change, in the official naming convention, would that be considered significant?
Based on my opinion, at this moment, on the political conflict in UMNO itself, it's actually in the context of Peninsular Malaysia, they give impact to the UMNO members itself, and not only the UMNO members itself, but also their at the grassroots level, their supporters, But in the context of Sarawak, it might be different.
So, Ivy, but, you know, the question of this news, I mean, it's circulating around, and there have been several individuals, both in Sabah and Sarawak and also in the peninsula, talking about this issue of the change, you know, from wilaya, from negeri to wilaya, and seems like an important gesture. At least some commentators think, others think it's mere tokenism. What do you have, would you have a sense of how the general population in Sarawak feels about this? Your own peers, are they talking about this rumoured change of term for both Sarawak and Sabah?
Okay, right. In my point of view, regarding on the change of that announced by our Prime Minister during his visit, official visit to Sarawak, it's a overdue demand from state government itself. So for sure, on the part of on the sides of Sarawak state government itself, it's a good news for us. Especially in concerning pertaining to the issues of Malaysian Agreement 63. Same goes to other related issues, like for example, in terms of the Constitution's law, Article 160. All right, so this is actually not only among the state government itself, but among the local level. This will be a very good news and the most long-awaited news for us as a Sarawakian here. On the issues of on the issue of Article 1+2 in Federal Constitution.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So while we're on the topic of MA63, I want to ask you about, you know, the long-standing quest to have more autonomy for Sarawak specifically. And, you know, Abang Joe has reiterated that, you know, while GPS has chosen to support the Prime Minister, they're not officially part of Perikatan Nasional. And I'm wondering whether you think GPS's support is contingent on Perikatan delivering on that promised autonomy, especially before the region's elections or Sarawak elections, and also before the general elections.
Yeah. Okay. All right. On the pertaining issues. Regarding the support of our CM of Sarawak. On our current Prime Minister. It's a good move actually. Right. Especially in the context of for both generation itself is coming soon. Same goes to our Sarawak state election. So this is the time for both government to work together. To make sure that they can. Give the base on for both federal level and also for state level, all right? And back then, both government, they must ensure a win-win situation, because in politics, we call this as a political patronage, right? In which, win-win situations there, right?
Ivy, I want to ask you a question in line with some of the theme of tonight's show, which is political renewal. Coming up to the next, Sarawak election or the territorial election, do you think that Sarawakians are going to be given a new fresh slate of leaders, or are Sarawakians going to be faced with pretty much the traditional slate of leaders? What is it that Sarawakians themselves as voters want? Do they want to see renewal in political leadership?
Okay, all right. So regarding on the issues of, this is more towards on the voters' preference while they're choosing their candidate during an election, right? Yeah. In Sarawak itself, I'm sure we are unique from Peninsular Malaysia in terms of voting preference. Yeah. For long over decade, Barisan Nasional remained strong in Sarawak. Yeah. But after the last general elections, in 2018, there is some changes. Yeah. Not only most of the time in Sarawak, we are using the most famous concept used in terms of campaigning. The strategy used by party is more on political development. Yeah, they use the political issue or the political development concept, right? So due to this, for the future, for next state election, when we look at again on the result of the general elections in Sarawak, it's quite interesting actually, because it's quite unpredictable to me, on my opinion, right? It's quite unpredictable, and due to the fact that some issues, like, I mean, for local issues itself, we have the local opposition parties that might compete with a well-known GPS. Mm. Yeah, right. So when we talk about the voters' voting preferences itself, it's quite unpredictable. Yeah, right. In terms of politics, especially in terms of for state election. Yeah.
All right, Ivy. Thank you for joining us on the show. We appreciate your time. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
After this, we're going to be discussing the impact of that controversial audio clip that emerged earlier this week. All of that in just a couple of minutes. So stay tuned.